Hello and welcome to Girl by Cassandra. I am so excited for this episode. I've been waiting about a week to share a little story with you. Of course, this is true life. This is real life. But before I get into it, I want to say thank you so much for listening. I'm able to see how many plays this podcast gets, and it really just encourages me to continue to share the stories, share the lessons that I'm learning, because I know that we all struggle, we're all growing, and typically us sharing, it impacts and benefits someone else. So I would love to hear some of your stories as well. Feel free to email me at growbycassandra@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at growbycassandra, or you can look for my Facebook group, Grow by Cassandra, and get inspiration and also share inspiration on that page. So I know you're looking at the title and you're like, Michael Kors changed my life. What? Y'all, let me just take you down memory lane just really quickly. So growing up, I was raised middle class. My dad was in the Army. My mom worked as a child care provider. And so we were able to maintain a middle class standard of living. So things were taken care of. And I remember not really caring or being too concerned about shopping or about name brands. I still don't care that much about name brands. But how I've transitioned in life is that I've learned to take note of quality. So I could list some of the stores, you know, that I really liked to shop at as I was younger. And I realized that, you know, Forever 21 and Rue 21, and I've never shopped at Rainbow, but I'm just going to say Rainbow. You know, that quality just really is not what I'm looking for in my adult life. So I'm not huge on name brands, but I am really big on quality. Don't get me wrong. I still will shop at Target and Burlington and Ross. I should be getting paid for dropping all these names. And believe it or not, Walmart. Like, I'm not ashamed, but I'm really looking for quality in life. I want things that will last. So I'm learning to take note of quality. So I have my go-to designers when it comes to purses, shoes, and coats. For purses, I've never owned one, but I really, really love the style and the look of Michael Kors bags. Aldo has nice bags. Coach has nice bags, but I don't always like the designs. But I know that the quality of those bags, they will last and they will be worth the money spent. In terms of shoes, what shoe brands do I like? I just got to put it on my foot and see. But obviously, you know, Nike for a good shoe. I just bought some Sperry's. They're pretty good quality. I bought some Bob's, not Tom's. And, you know, they feel good. They're comfortable. They're good quality. And for coats, I love Jessica Simpson shoes and coats. And so I look for coats. Worthington is really nice. I look for coats that are high quality. Anyway, this podcast really is not about your wardrobe, but you're welcome. There are some things that you can be looking for. My point is that there are designers that I love, and I have always wanted a Michael Kors bag, but I've never really been in a position to feel like I can afford it or like it is a want that is prioritized. So me being me, I'm like, well, I can get it from the outlet. Okay, so I'm thinking, it's probably been a year and a half, 2 years. I've been like, I want a Michael Kors bag, but I want to get it after I'm out of debt. I want to get it after I can afford it. And I listened to my Leek Teal's podcast, and she talks a lot about, you know, being able to afford something is being able to buy two of them. And I'm like, so we're going to wait, right? So, as you know, I worked my butt off for years to get out of debt, and I am financially free. I don't owe anybody anything. So in January, I was one step closer to my Michael Kors purse. And this was because I carry a lot of things. I'm a woman. I need my lipstick, my chapstick. I need my notebook. I need my cell phone to be taken care of. And I have gotten into the habit of buying really big purses with a lot of space, which creates a hot mess, really. It's just like, I don't know, throwing your stuff into a plastic bag, right? A free for all. So I'm digging around. I'm looking unorganized. I'm frazzled. I'm losing things that I need. So I decided I'm going to get a nice, small purse. I'm start downsizing. Like, the size of my bags are going to be smaller, and I really want a Michael Kors purse. But I'm going to get it from an outlet where I can afford it. So I worked to get out of debt, and I was in Houston, Texas, earlier in the year, and there was a Michael Kors outlet, but it was like an hour, 45 minutes from where I was, and I wasn't really in the city to shop. So even though it was something I wanted to get at the time, it wasn't priority. The past year, I've taken trips. So I've been to Panama, Cuba, the Dominican Republic. I've been to Mexico. I was living in Costa Rica, Colombia. Yeah, I've been around, and taking trips became priority. And my bag was like, I'll get it when I get it, right? But I decided that some of the things that I was neglecting to purchase for myself were inconveniencing me. So not having a nice purse, or not having good, reliable undergarments, or a watch, you know, like things that if I'm gonna keep taking these trips, I should definitely prioritize first things first. Like, I need a nice watch. I would like to have a nice purse. My shoes, my undergarments, my hair, you know, they're a priority. So I decided to prioritize. This is real intimate. Nice bra and panties, that was on my list. A watch, a purse, and some staple items in my closet, like specific colors. Also, different accessories. Now, don't get me wrong, there are lots of other important things, and I am not saying how you look or what you wear or what you carry around defines you. I consistently work on the inside, and so this podcast is about my effort to make sure that I took care of the outside, beauty and accessories and the things that I wanted. So I needed those staple items in my closet. Anyway, so I made a list, and I checked it thrice, right? I checked it over and over and over. As I purchased some things, I scratched them off my list. Oh, really nice sunglasses were on my list too, because I would buy the $5, $10 sunglasses, and then they would break, or I would leave them or lose them, or they wouldn't really fit my face that well, or they didn't block the sun out, and I liked to be at the beach. So I thought, you know what? That is actually a purchase that I need to go ahead and prioritize. And so a couple months ago, I bought some really nice shades, and check my Instagram for selfies. So anyway, let's fast forward. Labor Day was last week, and my parents have a timeshare in Branson, Missouri. Branson is about 2 hours from Waynesville, where I currently live, my hometown. My sister, my niece, and I used to joke about how my parents always go to Branson, as if Branson is Las Vegas or Chicago or New York City, right? It's just Branson. But I get it. Branson is close enough, but it offers a lot of the things that those big cities offer in a very Midwestern country type of way. So, all jokes aside, I brainstormed a trip with some family friends to go to Branson. So we all decided to go, chip in on the extra that the timeshare would require, and we had a great time. I went down to really just spend family time and to get away from, you know, the hustle and bustle of working and living right here in Waynesville. But I also went thinking, I know we're going to do some shopping, and this is a great opportunity for me to visit the outlet mall and get some things checked off my list. I'm saving, I'm in a good position financially. So that was a priority and a goal for the trip. Well, day one and day two, we hung out at the house. We went to a show. We went to the dam / lake that's in Branson, and we did not go shopping. I'm thinking, what? Day three, no shopping. Day four, I'm like, I don't care about nobody else. When we check out of this hotel room, I am going to the outlet mall. And that's what everybody else wanted to do, but I just made sure that it was priority for me. So we checked out and we stopped at the outlet mall. I got a little bit nervous because there were two outlet malls, and one did not have a Michael Kors outlet and one did. So remember, Michael Kors bag, what Kors bag was on my mind. So we did wind up going to the outlet Tanger outlet mall that had the Michael Kors outlet store. Oh my gosh, a trip that should have took 10 minutes took about 30. The traffic was outrageous the whole time. My passenger was really talkative, and I was just thinking, I want to get my purse. I want to get my watch. I want to make sure that everything I get is a really good deal and a really good sell. And then I want to get back home. Like, I got to drive 2 hours and I got to deal with this mall situation. And I won't say I don't like to shop. I just don't like to shop in crowds. I like to be the only one in the store that came in, got to the cashier, and got out. And I know that's not how it works. So we had a lot of traffic. We got to the outlet and parking took another 15 minutes. I kid you not, driving around the same little circles. I finally found a parking spot. I waited patiently as these people pulled out, and this guy pulled right into the spot that I was in. And you know, we had just had like really good worship and time with God the day before, and I was feeling real full. Like, my spiritual cup, my Christian cup was really full, and him pulled into my parking spot, emptied it a little bit. But I thought to myself, you know, what would Jesus do? So I just pulled up and waited for him to get out and politely told him, I just wanted you to know I was going to park there. And the man informed me that he had been waiting and blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that's true. And it didn't matter. I just wanted him to know. So finally found a parking spot, and I had to pee super duper bad. Finally went to the restroom, and finally was able to do shopping. If you've ever shopped with a group of like 10 people, you know that it can be really fascinating. So I just decided to say, you know what, I'm gonna go to this store, I'll meet y'all there, and then we can go to this store. And I knew Michael Kors was gonna be my last stop, and I was excited. So I went into Fossil, and they had a great sale. I got a watch for $49. It's neutral. I'm wearing it right now, and I love it. And I'm like, boom, got that off my list. Adidas had a great sale, but I didn't need anything. Nike had a good sale. I'm like, let me see if they have some really good sports bras. Okay, so go into Nike, get two bras for like $40. Wasn't a huge sale, but to be Nike, that's pretty darn good. So boom, I was feeling good. Got my watch, got my bras, and I'm like, Michael Kors, Michael Kors. Meanwhile, I'm with my really talkative passenger, and I'm kind of focused. So I'm like, I mean, you can come with me, but like, I'm in and out. I'm just trying to get this purse real quick. So we go to Michael Kors, and actually find this really nice two-tone brown purse that I love. But I went in for a black purse. But I had also sent a wish list to my sister and my niece for my birthday gift. And I decided, you know what, let me just see if they have any black purses, and I can cancel that off of my wish list if they've already, you know, looked into a black purse for me. So I walk around the store and quickly pick out two purses, the two-tone brown / tan purse. It was adorable. And then a small black purse, which was adorable. Then I start looking at watches, and I'm looking at clothes, shoes. I got distracted for a moment because there was a really good sale going on. But I decided to text my sister, see if you know, they had gotten the purse and we went kind of back and forth. She's like, you know, if you like that purse, I can take this one back. She sent me that one. She's like, your laptop bag can fit in this. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I decide, you know what? I don't need this black purse that I came for. I'm going to get this brown and tan purse that I didn't come for, but that I really like, even though I have two tan purses at home. Of course, I didn't think of it like that at the time, but just keep listening. So I convinced myself to get the purse that, you know, I wanted at the moment instead of the purse that I actually came to get that I had been wanting for a year and so. The purse that was on my list, the purse that was defined. And I wanted a purse that was big enough to fit my notebook, not my laptop. So when my sister talked about my laptop, she was actually remembering a purse that she had wanted about a month ago that could fit her laptop. But my laptop is big and it's heavy and I try not to carry it in my purse anyway. I wanted a purse that could fit my notebook. I get to the checkout counter with this purse that I just decided that I wanted, not the one that I actually needed and the one that was on my list. And I waited. And then I finally got to the counter and I'm like, okay, great. This purse is like $70, right? I forgot that the lady, the sales rep that was helping me, actually said the purse was $99, not $79. So even with my discounts and the 20% extra in-store discount, the purse was $104. And I had to pause and think, do I want to spend $104 on a purse that I don't really need? On a purse that really wasn't on my list, do I want to make this emotional purchase? And the answer was, I can't afford two of these. So I can't afford this purse. So no. So I quickly, you know, let the cashier know, never mind, I'm not going to get this purse. I walked out because I was confused. I'm like, how am I walking out of Michael Kors with no purse? Meanwhile, my talkative passenger is raving about how she had found a perfume on sale at Michael Kors. And I'm thinking to myself, I really want to be happy for you, but the only reason you came to Michael Kors was because I was coming to look for my purse and I didn't get what I needed or wanted and you got what you wanted, and I'd love to be happy for you, but I was sad for myself. She could tell and she empathized with me a little bit, but you know, it was difficult. We left the mall a few minutes later and I wondered if I should go back to get the black purse. I'm like, okay, wait, the black purse was $79, 20% off, plus I could have used the extra discount. I'm like, it's the black purse, but my sister bought me a black purse, but I actually do like the Michael Kors purse better than the black purse that my sister bought me. But will I hurt her feelings if I tell her that? Will she be upset that she has to take it back to the store, even though she volunteered to return it, told me to get the purse I wanted? It was crazy. It was really crazy the amount of time and energy that I spent on convincing myself not to get what I had come for and not to get what I wanted. So I pouted a little bit. My demeanor changed. My mood changed. And we stopped for gas before leaving Branson. And believe it or not, I physically felt like irritation, disappointment, frustration in my body. And I am not materialistic. I don't carry around a lot of name brand things. So I knew it was deeper than this Michael Kors situation. I thought about turning around as we drove, but my passenger had an upset stomach and I thought, let me get her back home as soon as possible because she's not feeling well. We did make a pit stop for some jewelry and I was still thinking, should I turn around? I know it's an hour the opposite direction, but it's probably worth it. That's a $400 bag that I could have got for $70. It's been on my list for 2 years. I've been wanting, I've been planning, I've been prioritizing this. It was in my hand. I looked at it. I took a picture of it. I kept pulling up the picture. I'm like, that purse is so beautiful. That purse is so great. What was I thinking? How did I let it slip out of my hands? I thought about this purse for 2.5 hours on the way back. I even thought about dropping my passenger off getting back on the road, driving 2 hours to the outlet mall, and then driving back. I called the Michael Kors store and I asked them if they could save the purse for me. And they said they could, but I would only be able to pick it up. They couldn't save it and then do their delivery. And I thought to myself, okay, they can deliver it. That'd be great. What will the price of the purse be the next day? I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what if it goes up to $400 and I really want it? I know I can't afford it if it's $400. So this was on my mind. I got back home. I attempted to kind of rest and take a nap. It was still on my mind. There was still pain in my shoulder and neck. I was frustrated. I was resentful. I was even jealous that my passenger had gotten what she wanted in a store that I took her to, and I hadn't gotten what I had wanted. I spent hours online searching for that purse. I thought, well, maybe I'll spend, you know, a little bit more, but I could order it online, or Michael Kors is having an online sale, so maybe I could find it there and go ahead and place the order and just pay for the shipping. I looked at resale pages. I looked at, I did a Google search, of course. I looked for the style of purse. My sister even got on it, had me download a picture of the purse and look on Amazon. And there were purses that were similar, but I wanted what I wanted. I wanted what had been in my hand. A vision had been cast, and I wanted this purse. It was black, which I needed. It was medium size, which I wanted. It was stylish, but could be casual. And I kept replaying the decision I had made. I was also frustrated because nobody made me put it back. Nobody told me don't get it. It was my decision. The next day, I woke up with this purse in that instance on my mind, and I had realized that I had settled. I had talked myself out of something that was literally in my hands. And I wanted to vent, but I realized that I was responsible. No one was going to want to hear this story over and over again. And really, honestly, no one was going to have sympathy because I made the decision. Like, oh, okay, so you put the purse back, you didn't want it? Oh, no, I really, really wanted it. Okay, so why'd you put it back? I don't know. I let other people convince me that what I wanted and what was on my list wasn't actually what I wanted, which wasn't true. So life is really choice driven. And I realized in that moment that I had made a choice. I was going to have to live with it. And obviously living with not getting this specific purse is a little bit different than some of the decisions that we make. But I want to draw it back in. So I had pain in my body, thoughts in my mind. I'm like, what is this telling me? I allowed other people in unexpected circumstances to change my mind. And that was big. I thought about the pain and the feeling that I was feeling in my body. I thought, I felt this before. What is this feeling that I'm feeling? And the mind is powerful, right? So I had changed my mind. But I had my mind set previously for a very long time on what I was going in to get and what I was going to accomplish. Like, I was going to check off an item on this list that I had created months and months before. But in the moment, I got confused. My desires were altered. And ultimately, I walked away with nothing. I didn't walk away with what I wanted or what I needed, which was really sad, and it was bothering me. So here's what I learned. It's really easy to lose sight of what you've said that you wanted. And so having a clear vision and writing it down is super important. I have a note in my phone that says medium black purse, because in my wardrobe, I don't have a black purse. And you could think of a black purse as any staple item that you, like any basic item that you just need. For some of us, it may be a stable job, a healthy relationship, health, fitness, whatever that is. I didn't have the basics. The second thing I learned was to avoid distractions. I don't typically shop with people because I usually have a list and I go in and out. I don't want to be encouraged into buying things I don't need or discouraged from buying things that are on my list. I like to go in and I like to get out, avoid distractions. That really ties in to the next lesson, which is having tunnel vision. So I had it when we went in Fossil. I was looking for a neutral watch. Bam. I had it when we went in Nike. I was looking for sportswear or sports bras. Bam. When we got to Michael Kors, I lost track of my tunnel vision. I looked at shoes. I looked at purses. I looked at clothes. I looked at coats. I looked at a purse that was nice, but it wasn't what was on my list. It wasn't what I wanted, and it wasn't what I needed. And so that got me off course just a little bit. In terms of a vision, right? Going after something that you really want. In this case, my Michael Kors purse. I needed to pursue it. I told other people what I wanted. I mentioned it to my sister and my niece. I even had pictures on my phone of a purse or similar purses that I wanted. But I failed to recognize that I didn't need to ask for advice on something that I had already decided. I decided I wanted that purse. I decided I was leaving with the Michael Kors purse that day. And so I didn't need to ask advice from my talkative passenger or my sister. I needed to just make a decision. So sometimes when we're striving for, when we set a goal or we have a vision towards something, we have to go at it alone. Right? We're not always needing to invite others' input into our situation. Something else that I learned was that I had to have a course correct. So there were several opportunities for me to make a different decision, to either turn around and go back to the mall, or while I was still in the store, to get out of line and go get the purse that I actually wanted and could afford. While I was driving and we stopped at the gas station, like turning around and saying I needed to make a stop. Course correct was really important. I, instead of course correcting, allowed that pressure, that tension, that pain, that frustration, those emotions to really overcome me and paralyze me. But I think what's important is if you want something bad enough, you've planned for it, you've dreamed about it, you have a vision for it, and it serves a purpose, you will stop at nothing to obtain it, to get it, to stay committed to what you said. So I talked about the next morning, right? I woke up, head still hurting, brain still spinning, still not happy about my friend getting her watch. I hate to admit it, but I was like, I mean, not her watch, her perfume. I was happy for her, but I was really frustrated with my situation and my circumstance. And sometimes that is true. We're so caught up in what's going on with us, we're unable to show empathy or to get excited for someone else. It is the truth. And I realize that I have to make some steps and take some action to fix what's going on with me so that I can be able to experience and share joy and good things with other people. So I decided the next day to go ahead and call Michael Kors. I called and I asked if I could have the purse mailed. Now this was the end of the next day because it was still in my head. I'm like, you know what? This is just, I'll just learn the lesson and I'll just walk away. And for some reason, I was like, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I have to correct it. And I really think because the purse is not that big a deal, I think that me going out of my way to correct it was just a lesson that in my life, even if I've made mistakes or I've settled or I've allowed different opportunities to pass me by, it is okay to take a moment to acknowledge it, to reset, and then to stop at nothing to make it right. So I called and I asked if I could have the purse mailed. Previously, I thought that the price would go back up to like, I think it was $378. And it didn't. Thank God it didn't. It was like $79. So I thought, okay, great. Fair price, good quality. It's going to serve a purpose. Although previously I felt devastated, I knew that this actually represented my past relationships. It represented my marriage, my jobs, and some of the current decisions I was making. So I said, yep, I'll buy it. $10 extra for shipping. Yep, I'll eat that cost up. I gave them Michael Kors store my information over the phone and placed my order. This situation was a huge lesson on the cost of settling. I knew what I wanted, but I settled for good enough. And really, at the end of the day, good enough became nothing. I walked away with nothing, not a thing. I didn't walk away with what I wanted, what I needed. I didn't walk away with a thing. So placing that order and then having my mail arrive on Tuesday. No, wait, I placed the order on Tuesday. It arrived on Wednesday. Yeah. So having it arrive was amazing. I've never been so relieved to get mail. And the purse symbolized a big lesson for me. It also symbolized my lists or my desires in terms of a spouse, in terms of friends and friendship, in terms of a job, career, and the things that fulfill me. One place that I don't settle tends to be my classroom, because I'm the leader and I set the tone. So when I'm teaching or when I'm working with students, kids, or adults, I know that I get to decide, that I have the vision, I can make it come to pass. And I need to take that same energy, that same spirit into my everyday life. So yes, I paid a little bit more than I would have paid, right? It costs a little bit more. And no, I wasn't able to get some of the discounts that I would have gotten if I had just, you know, purchased the purse when I had the first opportunity to do so. But all of that, that extra maybe $20, was a small price for the weight, the lesson, and the stress I'd already offered up. I mean, if you're going to wait it out, it's going to be a lesson, you're going to stress about it, you might as well get exactly what you want. So my note and my thoughts are, don't settle. At the end, it affects you the most if you decide to settle. It's hard for others to empathize with you if you don't understand. It's hard for others to empathize with you because they don't understand the depth of your desire. Even listening to this podcast, you might think I'm crazy. Cassie, all that over a purse? And it's really not about the purse, but I did want the purse that bad. It's Michael Kors. I don't tend to really like purses. I think most purses are ugly. But this purse in particular, it fits me. It's cute and I like it. So yes, the purse. I don't expect you to empathize with me not getting the purse. I don't expect you to understand why I wanted the purse so bad. I don't even expect you to empathize with the fact that I created a whole podcast about this Michael Kors purse, because I know that you may not understand the depth of my desire. But I do know that you can, that the lesson can resonate with you, right? That it's hard for others to empathize if they don't understand the depth of your desire, but that doesn't change anything. Do not settle on what you want. At the end of the day, if you decide to settle, it affects you the most. So you can ask yourself, you know, get clear on, what do I want? And again, think about relationships, think about job, think about purpose, think about life, think about kids, think about career. What do I want? When I don't know what I want, it's really easy for me to accept whatever comes my way. And that's a recipe for disaster. Because sometimes when we accept any and everything, we're left with nothing. You can ask yourself, what do I want? And who's going to change my mind about what I want? Is it going to be your spouse? Can a friend change your mind? Parents, life, circumstance, situation? Who or what will change your mind? What do I want? Am I willing to wait? If you're not willing to wait, do you really want it? Why do I want it? Whatever your it is, there's a why behind it. Sometimes digging into the why helps you to clarify what your true desire is. Do you really want it? These are the questions I asked myself about that darn purse. I didn't know I was so stuck and really serious about this purse. I thought, you know, after a 2-hour drive and a whole day of thinking about it, I'd be over it and just think, man, the next time I go to Michael Kors, I'm definitely going to get what I want. But I wanted it that badly. What do you want? Here are some things that I wanted in the past that I desired bad enough to stop at nothing to get. Financial freedom. Some people say, you know what? I don't mind having a student loan. I wanted it all paid. Every single cent. Now, in my case, my student loan was pretty low. So I know that I am definitely in the minority in terms of I didn't owe much on my student loans. But for me, having anything owed was not enough. I wanted complete 100% financial freedom. And I stopped at nothing. I didn't listen to anyone who said, oh, no, that's a good debt. You can have that. No, thank you. I wanted to teach in a Spanish-speaking country. I wanted to be a children's church director. I wanted to take a rest period where I was able to come home and be with my parents and spend time with my friends. No one could tell me what I wanted. No one can tell you what you want. You get to figure it out. Once you figure it out, I want you to chase it down. Chase it down like I chased my black, medium-sized, dome satchel Michael Kors bag. If you don't do anything else until we speak again, I want you to make sure that you grow.